We will be in Psalm 37. Wrongdoers, evildoers. You know, you don't have to fret about them. And you don't have to be envious about them because life is short. Well, he goes on to say and to tell us that if you and I are going to stop the fretting, if we're going to stop letting things agitate us, letting things worry us, then you've got to find a proper faith response. The Lord expects that from you and from me. Let me ask you this. How did you find the road to fretting? When you and I start fretting about something, how did you find that? Well, it means that you responded to a situation that you're about to encounter. Well, you know what? If you're going to stop fretting, you must respond to the will and Word of God. And that takes faith. Now, if there's no faith, there's nothing you can do to keep people to stop worrying. You can't keep people out of fretting because they won't make these responses. Well, the first response is found in verse 3. Here's the first move the Lord is looking for. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Trust in the Lord. We're talking about relying. We're talking about leaning. We're talking about having some confidence in the Lord. If you lean and rely on the Lord, guess what that'll lead you to doing? And do good. Whenever you start fretting, how much do you take the opportunity to do good? Generally, we retreat back into ourselves. We retreat back into who we are. We don't think about doing good. Now, let me throw this one at you. When we look at that word doing good, that just not good for goodness sake, this goodness here is things that are honorable, the things that are upright, compared to the wrongdoer, to the evildoer. They're not thinking in terms of honorable and uprightness. They're thinking in terms of evil and wrong. You and I need to make a faith response. And that faith response is trust in the Lord and do the things that are honorable and right, rather the things that are fretful and worrisome and bothersome. And you know what you end up doing, he says at the end of verse 3? He says, dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. You see, when you trust in the Lord and you lean on Him, you know what happens? You start dwelling in His land. Now, think about when this was written. The Jews, David wrote this psalm, the Jews were living in the promised land of God. They did nothing to earn it. They didn't build the houses and they didn't set the vineyards. God allowed other nations to do that before them. When God displaced them and let His people move in, that was His land. That was the land He provided for them. That's the idea of dwelling in the land. Well, you and I dwell in the land too. But it's much greater because of Christ. You and I, if we'll learn to trust in the Lord, and we'll think about things that are honorable and upright, if we'll make that response, we can learn to set roots and dwell in the arena, in the presence of God, and work on our faithfulness. He says here, cultivate faithfulness. This is where you need to feed. This is where you need to grow. Dwell in the land of God. Dwell in the presence of God and learn how to feed and grow off of His faithfulness. Rather than feed off of fretting, rather than feed off of worry, rather than feed off of the agitation, if you're doing those things, number one, you're not trusting in the Lord. And secondly, you're not dwelling, you're not staying in the presence of God. You're staying in the presence of everything that's trying to pull you down. And so the first response, you got to trust in the Lord. That's where it begins. That leads to the second response, verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord. Delight. I mean, rejoice. Be thankful that you're in the Lord. Evildoers, wrongdoers, whatever you may face through other obstacles, they're not remaining. You and I are going to remain here. Delight yourself in the Lord. Learn to draw. And this is where I see many times, I know I struggle there. I know many of my brethren struggle there from the standpoint of learning how to enjoy the relationship. When is the last time you ever sat down in the presence of God and just delighted that you're saved? Or have you ever done that? When have you ever just sat down and just said, you know what? I just want to delight in you. Here I am, the puniest of all people, the weakest of weak. I'm not great and mighty. I don't have a lot of things going for my life. And you saved me. I trust in you. And I'm going to dwell in your presence. And I want to delight in you. I want to enjoy this relationship. Maybe sometimes we don't go real far because we're so busy fretting and worrying about so many things, we don't have time to delight in the Lord. Well, did you know if you do those things, there comes a promise with that? Verse 4. Delight yourself in the Lord. And here's promise number one. And He will give you the desires of your heart. That's a promise. You mean God will give me the desires of my heart? That's what He says. Now let me tell you, when someone doesn't dwell and delight in the presence of God, let me tell you what they do with that verse. If He'll give me the desires of my heart, I think I'd like $1 million. Wouldn't you? I mean, I want that new house. I think I want that new car. And you know what? Those kind of things go along with the evildoers and wrongdoers. Because they're always looking at the physical. A person that trusts in the Lord, a person that delights in the Lord, they want to do it God's way. And so you know what their desires of their heart become? Whatever God wants. I want to do it your way. I want to have uprightness of heart. I want to do things that are good and honorable in your presence. That's what the desire of my heart is. And so therefore, if you and I will learn to delight ourselves in the Lord, He says, you know what? I promise you this. Then I'll give you desire of your heart. You want to enjoy that relationship? I'll give you the desire of your heart. And so that's what you want. That's what He wants. We're walking in the same page with the Lord. Well, there's another response, the third response that He expects. Look at verse 5. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him. And He will do it. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. And commit your way to the Lord. Now, you know, when you think of committing your way, a person that commits their ways to the Lord, that's where you give God everything about you hands open. I'm not holding on to anything. Now, when you begin to fret and worry, what are you holding on to? Oh, Lord, I just hope you can do something about this. I hope you can do, where in the world is faith? I need you to commit. I need you to commit your way. And your way is not to fret. That's not what I expect of you, God says. He says, I want you to commit. I want you to surrender you over to me, hands down, hands open, nothing else. And if you will do that, he says at the end of verse 5, trust also in him. You see, it takes both for a full, wholehearted commitment. You have to commit to the Lord and trust him. See, they have to go hand in hand here. And so, what will he do? He will do it. What will he do? He said he will do it. He will do what? I'll give you desires your heart. We're back to the promise. Because your desires are for me. And I'm going to take care of that. Trust. Delight. Commit. And guess what? Lord, I got to depend on your resources. Now, let me ask you this. Whenever you fret, whenever you're worried, whenever you're anxious, what's your resources? What are you drawing from? Only more fear and anxieties. Think about that. You're not getting better. You're drawing off of the resources that fretting has brought you. But if you and I would trust and delight, if you and I would commit to the Lord, that means I'm going to draw off of your resources. It means I'm going to have to trust you, God, more than anything else. And then I know what you're going to do with that. You're going to fulfill these desires that I have for you. There will be an answer there. It'll come from God. And so you and I, it takes the Lord to lead us away from this fretting stuff, because the fretting only creates more insecurities in our lives. We worry about everything. Maybe we need to get back and we need to find out, are we trusting, are we delighting, are we committing our ways to the Lord? Knowing that He'll give you desires of your heart. Well, if you commit your way to the Lord, that's going to lead to the second promise. Look at verse 6. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light and your judgment as a noonday. Here's the result. He will bring forth your righteousness. I mean, there is something going to happen within you. And it's going to be evident that this isn't me. It's going to be evident that faithfulness, righteousness, the decisions that I've made in my life to commit to the Lord, He's going to bring it full-fledged open so I can see it. That's what He promises. But it doesn't come till you commit. Well, look at verse 7. Here's the fourth thing that you and I must do when we face worries, fretting. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Rest in the Lord. Here we think about resting. What's it tell you? It means stay put. Settle down. Why don't you wait for the Lord? Why can't we ever seem to be a people that can wait patiently for the Lord instead of wandering off in the mindset of fretting and worries? I know there's things that can bother us. But you know what? The Lord is expecting results. The Lord's expecting faith from you and me. And one of the things is, I need you to rest. I need you to be still. I need you to wait. Instead of just jumping off, oh, you don't know what's coming on. Oh, this may happen and that may happen. And the next thing you know, we're fretting about everything and the majority of it's not even going to happen anyway. And then we find out just how little faith that we actually have. You know, he says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently on Him. Too many times, we feel compelled to do something. I mean, I don't know how many times just in my own life when things start happening, you feel like you got to do something about it. You know what that does to you? It creates more agitation. Because now you don't know what to do, but you know you need to do something. Sometimes we want to talk. And we want everybody to hear. We think that that's the solution. You know, when in the reality, we need to learn how to rest in the Lord, be still and be quiet and wait patiently on Him and not say anything. That's what we need to do. That's what He wants us to do. And if you and I are going to stop fretting, we're going to have to stop wanting to leap out and try to do something about the situation. You know, a lot of times when you're in a situation that's stressful and you don't know what to do, and you say, well, what do I do? Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him because there's nothing to do. Why can't we just be still? Why can't we just wait? Well, when you find yourself in a situation and you don't have an answer what to do, trust in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. Rest in the Lord. You know why? That's what brings assurances into your life. That's what brings help. Look at the middle of verse 7. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. You know what? When you start fretting, you start focusing on the wrong things. You start fretting looking at other people and see what they're doing. And now you've stopped responding to the Lord. Verse 8. We're coming up on the third promise here in just a moment. He says, cease from anger. Forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only leads to evil doing. You know, a lot of times when we're in a fretful situation, we're irritable, aren't we? You get irritable. And the next thing you know, that maybe the innocent one around you says something and you're just irritable, and what do? You get angry. You get wrathful. What has created you on edge? What's made you be that away? It hasn't come from the Lord. It's come from you responding to the fret. And so he says, you know what you need to do? You need to stop the anger. You need to forsake wrath when things are getting difficult. Move away from those kind of things because they're not going to help you at all. Why? Do not fret, middle of verse 8. It only leads to evil doing. You're going to do something wrong. You know, you're in a situation. And the situation can upset us. And we start focusing on it. And you focus on it more and more and more. And then what ends up happening? You start boiling about it. You start stewing about it, and the next thing you want to do, you're going to do something about it. And all of that fretting, that gnawing, that agitation has led you to where you're going to make a response, and the response is going to be wrong. You know, James had it right in James chapter 1, that the anger of man will not achieve the righteousness of God. It's not going to get you there. The only thing that's going to get you to the righteousness of God is whether or not you will trust in the Lord, you will delight in the Lord, you will commit your way to the Lord, and you will rest in the Lord. That'll get you to the righteousness of God. Worry will never get you to the righteousness of God, especially if you're angry, if you're wrathful, you're upset about the situation. It's just going to lead you into more evil doing. And here's what he says about that. Verse 9. For evildoers will be cut off. There's promise number 3. You don't want to give up the fretting? You go on to do more evil and you create more problems in the worrisome attitude. Lord's going to cut off evildoers. He doesn't walk in that world. But you know what? What if we'd be a people that just learns how to rest, commit, trust, learn how to delight in the Lord? Lord's not going to cut you off. Verse 9, he says, for evildoers will be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord, they will inherit the land. Wow, we're back to resting. If you wait for the Lord, they're going to inherit the land. The goodness that God intended, you know, is going to be flowing, is going to be given. Verse 10, promise number 4. Yet a little while, and the wicked man will be no more. And you will look carefully for his place, and he will not be there. God will pass judgment against the wicked. They're not lasting forever. You don't have to worry about people scheming. You don't have to worry about people, what they're trying to do. He says, you know what? Wicked man's going to be no more. You know, you're going to look, they're going to be gone. I've met with a lot of wicked people in my life. And it's been amazing as I look back. There's been times that I didn't even know how I lived. Literally, through a situation that was threatening. And as I began to go back and reflect of instances that I've been through, the times of threatening, the times of wanting to be shot, and you think, what happened to that evil man? Where'd they go? Lord promises, I'll deal with them. You don't have to. What you and I have to do is what? You must trust in the Lord. You must delight in the Lord. You must commit your way to the Lord, and you must rest in the Lord if you expect God to respond favorably to you. Verse 11. But the humble will inherit the land, and will delight themselves in abundant prosperity. The humble, those who can settle down and listen to the Lord. When things get crazy, when things get so off base, when things get just out of proportion, and you don't know how you're going to make it tomorrow, how about just humble yourself before God? I have no resources but you, God. God says, that's good, because I will be your resource. I don't know what else to do, God. I just want you to rest, and I want you to wait patiently for me. That's what an humble person would do. And you know what you're going to find? A delight in His prosperity, the ability to move forward, the ability to be stable, the ability to keep your feet down. Well, we need to learn how not to fret. We got it right here. But those four things, you and I must respond by faith. That is a must. And if you do that, the four promises, they're yours. God guarantees them. And that's how He'll operate. Well, I hope you'll learn. I hope I learned. Trust in the Lord. Let's listen to Him. That's the solution for all worries in life.